we continue on our series based on two books. Today's lesson is entitled Be the True You, and it is based on two books. The first book, The Four Agreements, A Practical Guide to Freedom by Don Miguel Ruiz, and the later book is written with his son, Don Jose, and it is entitled The Fifth Agreement, A Practical Guide to Self-Mastery. And those two books together give us the five agreements, which really are designed, they're based on ancient Toltec wisdom, and they are designed to provide us with a framework to release harmful social conditioning and stop allowing the opinions of others to define us and rule our lives. They are very powerful. Now, this whole idea behind the agreements is that as children, we were taught strict cultural and societal rules about how to be. From an early age, we learned that if we behaved in a certain manner, a manner that others deemed acceptable, we were rewarded, and that felt pretty good. However, if we did not behave in a way that others deemed acceptable, if we did not follow the expectations of others, we were punished. And that didn't feel quite so good, did it? And so what we learn from that is we learn to spend our lives pleasing others and winning their approval. To avoid being unacceptable, unloved, and rejected, we learn to pretend to be what others wanted us to be. And in that process, we fell and still sometimes fall victim to what others expect. In this process, we engage in the worst kind of identity theft, our own. New Thought leader and minister, Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith writes, "Society exerts a powerful influence to create an identity that the outside world defines as successful." And most of us spend so much energy on the identity we present to the world, our mask of personality, that we forget it is not who and what we really are. So these five agreements hold the power to help us align with our true identity. In other words, to be the true you. Today, we're going to explore the fourth agreement, which is a combination of the first three. But because I knew we would have some special guests today, and because a review never hurts any of us, does it? We're going to do a quick review of the first three, and also because the fourth agreement is really the combination of that. So I invite you, if you've been with us for this series, I invite you to reflect about how you're doing with these agreements. And if you're new to this, I invite you to reflect about how you intend to do. And we do have copies of the four agreements on the table in the bookstore. And if you'd like to order a fifth agreement, we have a list and we'll order them this week and they'll be in next week. We're going to spend a couple weeks at least on the fifth agreement. So agreement number one, those of you who have been here, what is it? Do you remember? You are good. Be impeccable with your word. Be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the word, the power of the word, in the direction of truth and love. Our power of the word is our power to create. And we can use that word to create goodness, really a heaven on earth, or we can use the word to literally create a living hell. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. And so this word, being impeccable with the word, is really, really important. Remember Ruiz's definition of sin? Does anybody remember it? Sin is what? Anybody? Some people got it. Anything you do against yourself. What an interesting definition of sin. Anything you do against yourself. And we go against ourselves when we judge or blame ourselves. We go against ourselves when we think we are less than or not enough. In fact, Ruiz says, self-rejection is the biggest sin you can commit. So that's the first agreement. Be impeccable with your word. The second agreement, everybody remember? Don't take anything personally. Absolutely. Don't take anything personally. This is a tough one sometimes. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. In unity, we would say their own consciousness, their own awareness. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be a victim of needless suffering. A very powerful agreement. Ruiz says, even when people seem to launch a personal attack on you, it's not about you. It's about their own conditioning. It's about their own agreements. And when we take in the emotional garbage of others, guess what? It becomes our garbage. We own it. And the last agreement, which we discussed last week, is what? Don't make assumptions. I called it assumicide. In this one, Ruiz says, we find the courage to ask questions and to express what we really want. That implies that, first of all, we have to figure out what we really want, doesn't it? But then once we find it out, we have to express it. We have to let people know. We said last week, people are not mind readers. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. Ruiz says, with just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. So another powerful agreement. And here we just need to learn to pause and ask ourselves, one, am I making an assumption? And two, is it true or is it false? And then we move on from there. So this brings us to the fourth agreement, which is, according to Ruiz, where the rubber hits the road, his language. So here's a riddle, and I know some of you know this riddle, know the answer. So if you know it, I'd like you to hold it so everybody else can think about it a little bit. It goes like this. There were five frogs sitting on a log in the middle of a lake. One frog, let's call her Frida. Frida decides to jump in the lake. How many frogs are left? I'm hearing five. Those of you who know the answer, what's the answer?
Five.
Because did Frida jump? She just decided to. Deciding and doing are two different things, right? I don't know about you, but I'm freely going to admit this morning I've been Frida. And I think when we come to these agreements and applying them to our lives, maybe at some point we have all been Frida. It's just an important thing to ask ourselves. Are we ready to move into action? Because Ruiz says the fourth agreement is about just that. It's about putting the first three into action. And I know some of you have been trying that all along, because I've had a lot of conversations with people about applying the agreements. But today is the one that really helps you put it into action. So, you know, Jesus said, and we have this outside when you walk in the front door, one of my favorite Bible verses. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. But here's the question. Is knowing the truth enough, or is it just the first step? In the modern Bible, the Message, the text reads, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. This is one place, one of the places, that I think the Message gets it right. I think that's what Jesus meant by this. So in a moment, we're going to display the Fourth Amendment, and for those people who will be listening online, I'm going to say it out loud. But before I do that, I'd like us all to consider this question. Who, when I see this amendment or hear it, the amendment, when I see this agreement, I knew I'd make that mistake eventually. What voice do I hear? What voice is ringing in my ear? What voices am I hearing? What messages from my childhood or from my adulthood am I hearing when I see or hear this agreement? And the agreement is always do your best. Always do your best. So whose voices are you hearing? Parents, how many parents? Teachers, religious leaders, neighbors, you know, the world is always telling you always do your best. I hear, among other voices, I hear my Girl Scout leader, who insisted, in addition to doing my best, she insisted that I learn to sew on a button so someday I could repair my husband's shirts. I swear, I'll never forget it. And you know what? She was not very pleased when I raised my hand and asked the question, why can't he sew on his own shirts? Buttons on his own shirts. The point is, when I hear always do your best, when I hear those words, when I see those words on the screen, it can bring up tinges of guilt, the idea that maybe I don't see the world the way others see it, and I, for many years, thought that was a bad thing. I revised that I don't measure up, or maybe that I'm not good enough. And if you are hearing similar voices, I just invite you to realize that Don Miguel Ruiz has a different slant on this. He writes, under any circumstances, always do your best, no more and no less. He notes, which is something we know, that every single thing on this physical plane changes. It's alive and changing all the time. So sometimes our best will be high quality, and sometimes our best will be a little less than high quality. He actually says, your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to when you are sick. Under any circumstances, simply do your best, and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. So like everything else on this outer world, our best, our actions around our best, are relative. When we are full of energy, might be wonderful, and when we are exhausted, it might be diminished, right? Sometimes doing your best might be listening to your body and taking a nap. Not the kind of thing we think about normally when we think about doing your best. So do your best, no more, no less. If you try too hard to give more than your best, you will spend more energy than needed, you will overdo, you might deplete your body, go against yourself, and actually get diminishing results. On the other hand, if you do less than your best, if you never even make an attempt, you'll subject yourself to frustration and regret. So Ruiz shares a story, and I think some of you know this story. I think it was in one of our other books, maybe the Book of Joy, I'm not sure. But Ruiz shares the story of a man who wanted to transcend his suffering. So he went to the Buddhist temple, and he met with the master. And he said to the master, I really want to transcend. I want to get rid of the suffering. Tell me how I do it. If I meditate 4 hours a day, how long is it going to take me? And the master looked at him and said, well, if you truly meditate 4 hours a day, I think you'll get there in about 10 years. Well, that seemed like a long time to the fellow. So he said, well, what if I meditate 8 hours a day? And the master looked right in his eyes and he said, well, I'd say if you meditate 8 hours a day, it might take 20 years. And the guy was, what? If I meditate more, I get less? And the master said to him, it's not just about meditating. It is about living life to the fullest. It is about finding joy. It is about being who you are on this earth. And sometimes, if you can meditate for 2 hours and feel that fulfillment, you're good. And if you meditate for 8 hours, you might lose the point. Kind of a different message about meditation than we sometimes get, but I think there's truth in it. So the thing is, Ruiz says that absolutely, if you are going to employ the Fourth Amendment, you cannot sacrifice your life or your joy. You have to live in the moment. Think of Frida the Frog. We know that she might still be drying out on that log, right? If she didn't take the action. So the Fourth Amendment is all about taking the step, taking the action. Ruiz says, doing your best, you will live your life intensely, you will be productive, you will serve as a force of good. And, I didn't say but, and there's an important caveat. Doing your best is taking action, not just for action's sake, not because you think you have to, not because you're expecting a reward. He says too many people do just the opposite. Motivated by only extrinsic rewards, outside rewards, they don't do their best. They go to work on Monday morning and count the minutes until Friday. They grudgingly work all week long because they have to pay the rent, feed the kids, and support the family. Even when they receive their paycheck, even when the big reward comes, they are unhappy. On their 2 days off, they dread going back on Monday and they try to escape. They might even drink too much because they do not like themselves. And here's the thing. When we don't love ourselves, when we don't see ourselves as spiritual beings having a human experience, we can hurt ourselves in many ways. On the other hand, when we love ourselves and feel purpose and joy in our work, we don't just focus on the reward. Now, this is interesting. The rewards will come. When we do our best, the rewards will come, but we're not attached to them. Rumi wrote, "When you do things from your soul, you feel a river moving in you, a joy. And when we do our best, no more and no less, we don't allow the inner judge to find us guilty. We don't judge our past because guess what? We don't live there anymore. And our past is 30 seconds ago. We live in this now moment. And if an outer judge tries to impose judgment on you, negative judgments, and believe me, there'll be plenty of them around, you've got the answer. The answer is, I did my best. I have no regrets." So now, from the fifth agreement, I dipped into that one a little bit for today's lesson, the authors say that as you work through the agreements, you challenge your long-held beliefs by asking if they're true. We sort of already said that. And sometimes you will discover that all your life, you tried to be good enough for somebody else, and you ended up leaving yourself last. In my teens, I used to go to a church camp every summer. I'm not even going to name the denomination. Some of you know it. And I got a lot of wonderful things from my faith in my childhood, and I'm not in any way dissing it. But I remember the church camp. I remember the campfires especially, the beautiful stars twinkling in the sky and the mesmerizing campfire and some really wonderful message that the adults gave us around that campfire. But there was one message that I was given that, if you'll pardon the pun, was less than illuminating. And I have never forgotten it. I'm going to share it with you today. It was, first of all, put yourself first. I'm sorry, that's what I'm doing today. Put God first, which is okay. Put others second. And guess what? Put yourself last. That was the message. And I'm here to tell you it took me years to release that put yourself last part. Okay? So that's part of what these agreements are all about. It's part of us just learning to release what needs to be released. The authors say, when you put yourself last, you sacrifice your personal freedom to live according to someone else's point of view. See if this rings true for some of you. You try to be good enough for your mother, your father, your teachers, your co-workers, your boss, your beloved, your children, your religion. I'll stop there, but it goes on and on. You try to be good enough for other people. And remember when Jesus was asked, which of all the commandments that the early Hebrews practiced, almost over 600 a day, which one is the greatest? They were actually trying to trip him up, but they did not trip him up at all. He replied, "Love, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And, say this part with me if you can see the screen, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." As yourself. I believe that if we do not and cannot see the Christ within ourselves and live from our true spiritual identity, it makes it a lot harder to see the Christ in other people. So doing your best really doesn't feel like work because you enjoy every moment of what you're doing. Joy was today's daily word. It's perfect for today's lesson. You do your best because, not because you have to, not because you fear judgment or because you are trying to please other people. Instead, you take action because you find joy in the action. I remember Charles Fillmore, I think he was 93 or 94, co-founder, who said, "I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm." And that's what it takes to live life fully. And here's another Ruiz gem. He says, I don't know if you can, hopefully you can see that, action is about living fully. Inaction is the way we deny life. I'll say that again. Action is about living fully. Inaction is about the way we deny life. Inaction is sitting in front of the TV every day for years because we are afraid to take the risk of expressing what we are. In other words, we are afraid to be the true me or the true you. And now our heads can be full of great ideas, but without acting on them, there will be no manifestation and no results. That's mind, idea, and expression. That's what we need to be. So Ruiz says, this is a personal testimony from him in the book, doing my best has become a ritual in my life because I make the choice to make every act a ritual, even taking a shower, he says. With the action of cleaning my body, I tell my body how much I love and appreciate it. I do my best to care for it. And he discusses a ritual in India called puja, where people take idols that represent the divine in many forms, and they bathe them, they present food to them, and they chant mantras and deliver prayers to them. I've actually seen this in the Hindu temple in St. Louis. Ruiz says the idols are not important, but what's important is the way people perform the ritual to honor the divine, to say, I love you, God. He writes, you don't need idols. You don't need the Virgin Mary, the Christ, or the Buddha idols. You can have them if you want to. You can have them if they make you feel good and closer to God. That's great. However, your own body and all of life is a manifestation of God. Just think of that. God is life. God is life in action. Every action then can become a ritual in which you honor God. Every thought, every emotion, every expression of love and gratitude becomes a communion with the divine. I think that's what Paul meant when he wrote to the Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. And it's said in the book, the best way to say, I love you, God, is to live your life doing your best. The best way to say thank you, God, is by letting go of the past and living in this present here and now. This is hard, but he says, whatever life takes away from you, be willing to let it go. Surrendering, letting go of the past, always allows us to live fully in this now moment. Not enjoying what is happening right this minute is being only half alive, and that leads, he says, to self-pity and suffering. Lots to think about. Ruiz says, you were born to be happy. You were born to live in joy, to love, and to share the love you are. You are alive, so take your life and live it. Don't resist life passing through you, because that is God passing through you. Just your existence proves the existence of God life and God energy. Just to be, just to take a risk and enjoy your life, that's what matters. You have the right to be the true you, and when you don't do your best, you deny that right. You don't need the acceptance of others. Ruiz says, and I quote, you express your own divinity by loving yourself and others. You are expressing God when you say, I love you. Ruiz says, the first three agreements will only work if you do your best. Choose to honor them. Don't expect that you'll always be able to be impeccable with your word every second. Anybody besides me notice that? It's not easy. But because our habits are so strong and deeply rooted in our minds, but we can do our best. Don't expect that you will never take anything personally or never make another assumption, but you can certainly do what? Do your best. By doing your best, the old habits will become weaker and less frequent. And the important thing is not to judge yourself, feel guilty, or punish yourself if you fail to meet an agreement. Ruiz says, I have fallen many times, but I stood up and I kept going. I didn't feel sorry for myself. I said to myself, I am strong, I am intelligent, I can do this. And then he says, and so can you. So remember, practice makes progress, right? If you're doing your best with these agreements over and over, you will become more authentic and feel good about yourself. Rez says, if you do your best in your search of personal freedom, in your search for self-love, you will discover that it's only a matter of time until you find out what you're looking for, until you find that which you seek. Your life will be transformed, your relationships will be richer, peace will prevail, and your amazing love will be a magnet. All of this transpires when you agree to be the true you, and so it is. So let's take this moment now to just affirm what makes all of this true, the great truth about our God. And for those of you who are guests for the first time, this is printed in your bulletin, and we will say it together. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.